On this Browns Victory Monday, we have sunshine and 45.
It is 8:40 at WEOL. Time for the Petrak Report, brought to you by Jamelis Wilson, Merrill & Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and Royal Business Equipment. We talk each Monday with Scott Petrak of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com about Browns game the previous day. They were down in Cincinnati taking on the Bengals. Scott, thanks for joining us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. All right. You got a 60-yard perfectly thrown pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones, 70-yard touchdown run from Nick Chubb, and a 99-yard pick six from Denzel Ward. Before the game, which of those would you think would be the least probable one to take place?
I'd probably go with the pick six, especially that length. You know, the Browns hadn't scored a touchdown on defense this year. They'd only had four takeaways on defense in the first eight games. So I would say that that's the least likely that I would have expected.
Did that sort of, I guess, propel the defense into try to get more takeaways, kind of set the stage for the day?
Yeah, I think it set the tone for the entire day on both sides of the ball. Now, the Browns have been talking about needing more takeaways for weeks, right? And last year they did a much better job, especially early in the season, and I think that was a difference in the win-loss record and just how, you know, if the defense gets takeaways and creates opportunities for the offense, that really can kickstart an offense. And that was just missing in the first eight games. And they talk about them coming in bunches, and they came in bunches. And I do think, you know, momentum helps. And Denzel Ward making that play was a big factor. And then he made another tip ball that led to an interception later in the game. So, you know, it was a kind of all the events came together. But that play was huge. From a defense perspective, just from the game, it's a 10 or 14-point swing, and then it allowed the Browns to play from in front, which is important.
Scott, after all the Odell Beckham Jr., shall we say, stuff over the past week, the team could have tanked. They could have done what they did yesterday. Any surprise on your part how they all came together and rebounded?
Yeah, it's interesting. I just didn't know which way it would go. You know, I do think that the locker room has a lot of quality people and quality professionals. So, I didn't think it was going to go sideways necessarily, but you just never know. You know, we talked to a lot of players last week, a lot of leaders who said they wish Odell could come back. They wanted it to work out. And the fact that it didn't, you know, you never know if a guy is a little salty or whatever. Just, you know, this is an emotional game, and either you're not playing at maybe peak capacity, and that wasn't an issue. Kevin Stefanski said he believed his guys would be focused. They certainly were focused. I think on the field, for whatever reason, not having Odell, it frees up Baker Mayfield. It frees up the offense. But from a psychological standpoint, I was curious how they would handle it, and they handled it as well as possible.
Any surprise on your part, certainly on mine and a lot of other people, that we learned this week that Odell had requested a trade numerous times during the offseason?
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, I was surprised to see. I mean, yeah, I did not know that. So, yes. Now, I'll say that looking back on it, I can see that Odell's the type of guy where the frustration would be building. I think he's also the kind of guy that maybe isn't always happy, or it's tough to make him happy. So even though the Browns had gone to the playoffs and he was going to come back as the number one receiver, that doesn't mean he was satisfied being here, and I don't have a good explanation for that. But, yeah, the fact that, you know, someone told me the same thing, that their trade requests started at least in this offseason and continued, and there were multiple ones, and the frustration just grew. He did not share that with us. I don't think he shared that with many teammates because, you know, if you knew a guy wanted out, I think you'd be more than willing to say, okay, now we understand what the team did. And I don't think the players knew that, at least early in the week. So, yeah, I think that was a bit of a revelation.
I can't nitpick on anything in yesterday's game, but I will say this. I was surprised when the league office in New York City called down and called a Browns defensive lineman for roughing the passer 21 seconds after the play was over.
Yeah, that was interesting. I know somebody's in the officials there. I don't know if it's actually New York or somebody up in the press box. You know, it could also, and I know that they do listen to someone. Now, it could be that, it could be getting together with other officials and they talk it over and say, I saw this, I didn't see this. And I don't like to criticize the officials, and I think it happens way too much. But there needs to be more consistency with how they call, well, probably call everything, but most specifically, how they call the roughing the passers. It was a call in the Sunday night game that I was watching that it was a head scratcher. And there's some that get called, some that don't get called. So it would just be nice if, as a fan, and I'm sure as an official too, you knew exactly what was a penalty and what wasn't one.
And my last rant for the day, I cannot believe how many times and in different ways Myles Garrett is being tackled and there are no calls.
Yeah, that's become a theme too, and I know Myles complains about it. I see some of those live from the press box. I'll get a better view when I rewatch the game on TV. You know, not every time it is a holding. Sometimes it looks worse. Sometimes if the defensive lineman spins, it looks like a hold, and it's really not. I think Myles is winning a lot of his battles and probably should be getting more calls. But to play a little devil's advocate, if the Browns linemen were called for every time they held, people would complain about that, and the game would come to a screeching halt. So I think there has to be a balance, but on a big scale, I think you're right. I think Myles should draw more holding calls.
He has a way of an angle to get to the quarterback that involves him almost like crawling on the ground practically to get over to it.
It's amazing. I mean, the guy's 6'4", 275-ish, and the bend that he has, I mean, that's what makes him the number one pick in the draft, right? That physical ability, and they call it dip and bend and whatever it is. You just have to have loose ankles and loose hips and loose shoulders, and a lot of guys just don't have that, and that's why he's special.
Talking to Scott Petrak this morning on his way back from the Queen City? That's what Cincinnati is right now, coming back to Cleveland.
And then,
next up for the Browns, the New England Patriots. What can we expect? How does this sort of glow kind of translate into going up against Bill Belichick next week?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the Browns need to get on a run, right? If you're trying to get to the playoffs and get to the 10, 11, whatever number of wins it's going to take to get to the playoffs, you need to string some of these wins. You can't just be at 500 all year. And the schedule gets hard. I think early in the season or before the season, this looked like a game you thought the Browns would win. I think it's obviously less certain. That feeling is less prevalent now. The Patriots, I saw the early line. The Patriots are 2.5-point favorites. They're playing well. They have a rookie quarterback. Their defense is playing really well. Obviously, Bill Belichick is probably not going to have two bad years in a row, even if he doesn't have Tom Brady. So this is a tough challenge. It's a tough place to play. And who knows what the weather's going to be Sunday in Foxborough. I haven't looked yet. But it's going to be a tough game. I would expect fewer points, probably closer to the vest. And you have to bring your best game, whether you're Baker Mayfield, and figure out that defense of Bill Belichick and or Kevin Stefanski, how you match wits with, maybe the best to ever do it.
One more on Odell. Where do you think he'll land, and will he face the Browns this season?
Yeah, obviously, we're going to find out by Tuesday afternoon. He can clear waivers. He either gets claimed off waivers by Tuesday at 4 p.m., but then he's free to sign somewhere else. And I don't think it'll be a process that drags out, so I'm expecting to know by Tuesday night. Las Vegas, I think, is a real option for him. They need a speed receiver, although they just signed DeSean Jackson's going there, so maybe that takes it off the table or makes it less likely, but I still consider that a possibility. Green Bay, I think, is a possibility. New Orleans, he's got a history in Louisiana. And then there's a lot of buzz about Seattle. If they could use a receiver, there's a report from USA Today that they're doing a lot of research. Russell Wilson, the quarterback, is pushing for Odell to be signed there. So if I were going with the favorite right now, I would say Seattle, because number one, they could claim him off waivers and avoid having to kind of win a free agent battle for him, or they can make a really compelling argument because they're a good franchise with a great quarterback.
So you're telling us by Tuesday you don't have to wear out the O, B, and J on your keyboard anymore when you're typing up a story?
Well, I expect him to talk wherever he goes, okay. And I'm sure that'll be worthwhile. So we'll probably be writing about Odell for a little bit.
Well, he likes that if you write about him for the most part. So we'll see how that works out. But what a crazy So it was almost like a soap opera arc. It started on a Tuesday, ended by a Friday, is the way things were going. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again next Monday. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Scott Petrak joining us here this morning on the Petrak Report, brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Merrill & Frintz Company, attorneys at law and Royal Business Equipment.